We are in our 8 o'clock hour, and it is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Well, we've settled down maybe a little bit coming off of Sunday night football. Falcons falling to the Chiefs 22-17.
I will tell you guys, and Bo, I know you'll understand this, the hardest thing for me in this profession is to 5 minutes after the game is over, get on air with Chris Goforth in a post game and not absolutely be irate, to like calm myself down and to try to understand the storylines. When the game's ended the last minute, and then it's like, all right, we're going to kick it over to Chris and Mike back at the Kia Studios. And I'm like, man, like half the time I'm about to run through a wall because I'm so happy. And the other half of the time I'm like, how do I not get on here and just be miserable for the next 2 hours in this post game show? And last night was definitely a tough one. But as of right now, at 8:03, whatever it is, I'm coming around. I feel okay.
The hardest thing with me would be not screaming cuss words for excitement or anger in the middle of Wes and Arch, where mics are audible and can pick me up, because that's very hard. I'm getting some tweets and some texts, Mark Zeno, about play calls that should or not should have been, and the quarterback sneak thing. You can just stop right there on that fourth down play. First off, that was way too far, I thought, for a sneak. Second off, you're not sneaking Kirk Cousins with all due respect, Ryan Neuzel, who they were targeting. Okay, that's the sneak starts right up front, right, with the center. I mean, you can say you pull him around, but Chris Jones is in there too. This guy's a dominant player. That's a terrible play call. In fact, go back and watch fourth down on the actual play. Neuzel is beat immediately at the point of attack.
Yeah, he is.
And
he is.
His guy was in on the play back there. Now, look, the left side didn't do their job either, but guys, you cannot like the play call, but don't suggest worse play calls.
Here's the thing. Here's how I feel about it. And I hate using this word, gadget play. But I think you lined up in the power tee last night in some of these short yardage situations. And I like the fact that we're using imagination and doing that. Here's the thing, though. There are some times when you put guys in positions that they're not used to, right? And I'm talking about Tyler Allgeier as a lead blocker or somebody taking a handoff out of a power tee, that a lot of times you don't know what look you are going to get defensively. You don't know how they're going to line up. When you line up in a power tee, you have no idea what Steve Spagnuolo's defense is going to do. So sometimes, and it happened multiple times last night, sometimes these linebackers or guys at the second level just get lost in the fray. And sometimes you're not sure who to block because you don't know what the formation is going to look like on the defensive side of the ball. That's what I think happened last night. It was like Allgeier was trying to block for the edge and forgot to look back inside at the linebacker position, and then that guy blows up the play. So,
and if you don't like the fourth down call, let's go back to the third down call. And Allgeier, it's basically – You're running right interior, and you've given the ball to what most people tell me is the only physical running back that we have, which he's not. You know, Robinson is as well, but this is the guy you want short yardage. I didn't like the way Allgeier hit the hole. There wasn't much one to begin with, but I feel like in that situation, a power runner needs to get as downhill as he can and just shove it in there, right, and maybe move that pile a little bit. I know he pitter pattered a little bit. He pitter-pattered a little bit and hesitated and then waited for something to happen that didn't, and it caused basically you stuffed yourself there.
Do you want
any more phrases you want me to work in for you?
Somebody please go to the next segment, dude.
Okay.
I can't deal with
all right.
Was it the shoving in there or the stuffing?
The next segment is man up, so I don't know how you guys are going to feel about it, but let's get to it. All right.
This is a little bit better than last week, Tiff.
Okay.
That's the good news.
That's what you're hearing, the rumblings in here. There's some good. There's some bad.
Yeah. There are certain weekends we go, and I'll text Bo, and I'll be like, hey, do you remember what I picked? Sometimes I can't remember because I have like six or seven that'll be kind of fumbling around the brain. But I do remember what my good one was this weekend, and I guess that's probably a good place to start because – I tried to tell Bo Namath over here that I felt good about the Gators. If you remember, I felt good. The Gators.
I do recall.
Yeah,
this.
I was like, the Gators are going on the road. Sometimes, and I looked at you, Tiff. I said, sometimes the best thing is for these teams out of these towns. And I took the Gators on the road against Mississippi State. Florida at Mississippi State. Florida's backs are against the wall. And Mississippi State is terrible. They are terrible.
So what are you so?
Well, I actually think this is one of the rare instances, guys, in college football where it benefits a bad team to go on the road versus the world mentality and play a bad football team in Mississippi State. Florida, minus the 6 or 6.5, whatever you have it as, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Hey! Come on, man! That's too easy!
It's too easy.
I don't think it was that easy.
I'm taking a bow.
They gave up 28 points. They let Mississippi State run for over 250 yards against them, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh,
that was the number.
I hit the bet, did I not?
You did hit the bet. That's good,
good
for you.
So then you should allow him to.
Yeah, can I just gloat a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. You can do your good one.
I'm just miserable about my team.
Yeah.
Do I want to do my bad one or my good one?
I think you start with your good one because the bad ones for me are bad.
Yeah, my bad one's bad. I went 3-1 this week, guys.
I did too. Yeah, I feel good about that.
And
good for us, man. High five.
I told you that the lock of the week was the Chargers at Steelers over under being set at 35.5.
Okay.
These are two teams that want to run.
Lock of the week.
Yeah. There are two teams that want to run the football, as I told you that. They don't score. They're not been high scoring games. And 35.5 was the lock. Let's see how it played out for me. Chargers at Steelers. The over-under is 35.5.
Please tell me you're going under.
35.5. You know what the score in last week's game between Pittsburgh and Denver was? 13-6.
Yeah.
You know what the Chargers score was? 26-3. Give me the under.
Yeah, I love that.
All freaking day.
Not a boy.
You can take that to the bookie and tell them the Squidbilly sent you.
Hey! Come on, man. That's too easy.
Let me tell you something.
About it.
20-10. There's like 2 minutes left. And about minute 45. Najee Harris breaks off a 40-50-yard run. He didn't slide. He didn't go down. He was gang tackled at the 1 yard line. And they had no timeouts left. And I go, Tomlin, do the right thing, Mike.
Yeah.
Coach, do the right thing. And I knew he would because that's Mike Tomlin is not Dennis Allen. When he gives an order, His players listen, and they take a couple of knees, and we get out of there with the under, baby.
Yeah, I love that. And I honestly, you can hear me right there in that cut. I'm like piggybacking. I'm like, yeah, good play. Tiff. I have these rules when it comes to gambling. He's talking about how low the over-under was, and you go under the low ones, right? And I flipped around, and let's go straight to the bad one. 49.5 points was the over-under for the Eagles and Saints game. And I was like, nope, you're not getting me. That's a big number, and I'm going straight over. I think that when you look at Eagles and Saints, right, they've been a team that obviously the offenses are really clicking. That over-under right now is 49.5, Eagles and Saints. Here's what I have to say to you. Take the over. It's an astronomical number. It's almost 50. There's a reason. There's a reason right now when you look at the things. Jalen Hurts has had success against New Orleans. That New Orleans offensive line's playing at a high level. I love the over in this one. I think it's going to be like 28-24. Yeah. Missed it by that much, guys.
Brother, yeah. This guy.
If you haven't paid attention, guys, the final of that one was 15-12.
He said that again.
Up, I don't know, 23 points short. No big deal.
Brother, this guy stinks.
Yeah, that was a rough one, man.
The other big over this week was 47.5 Baltimore-Dallas. I nailed that one. Thank you to the late charge by the Cowboys. But
I think I took the Ravens that one, won that one as well, yeah.
That's not my bad. My bad was I went with you know what, Eli Drinkowitz or whatever his name is?
That's his name.
You're dead to me. Vandy at Missouri.
Okay.
It's only a 20-point spread. I think Missouri is one of the better teams in the SEC, and I think Vanderbilt is a team that came to Atlanta.
He says that every time.
Vanderbilt.
And they lost to Georgia State.
They did. Don't
give me Mizzou and the 20. They cover home.
I'm just going to tell you, and I said this about the Vikings game last weekend, you're just falling into a trap right now. You're John Q. Public saying, hey, Vandy just lost to Georgia State. I got news for you. They ain't that bad. Georgia State is pretty good.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok, and flat out deceived.
You want to remind people what the final down was?
It was a field goal, I think.
Share with the class? You want to share with
double
the
overtime.
Yeah, it was a double overtime. I think it was 30-27.
It's only 20.
In fact, Vandy misses a field goal to tie the game to go into triple overtime. Yeah.
It's only 20.
That, you know, it's crazy as that was my only loss. Like, yeah. I did something like I did not want to pick Tennessee to cover, but I said I think they're a much better team. They cover. My other two of the over and the unders, I nailed. Boy, I was so bad on that, but I had a 3-1 weekend. I made you money this weekend.
Yeah, I got Tennessee right, I got the Ravens right, and I got the Florida game right. So,
which is good because I lost you all of your money last week. You probably didn't have money to make this weekend because you lost
just
it.
Just down by one unit.
Cool. Pat yourselves on the back or not.
Hey, right. you should be patting us on the back the way you destroyed
the same
us
vibes
last week.
In a positive direction that you had last week.
It's
show
not.
Love.
I don't
show
you dunked
love
on us last week. And we had good weeks.
Either that or I'll mute you on Instagram.
It's not within me.
Yeah, I'm muting you on Instagram.
Who wants to go get me another cup of coffee and then we can talk?
Not with that energy.
No one? Okay. All right. Well.
We can get Garrett to do it.
You were off this weekend and me and Bo slept here last night. Okay? You bring the coffee.
No. When we come back, let's get your more info on that Falcons tough loss to the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. We've got former Atlanta Falcon and current analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer, joining the show. That is next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back and going straight to the WaitForIt.com hotline. That is where we find former Atlanta Falcons quarterback and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer, joining us here on the show after a late night. How's it going, Arch?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
Well, I've been better, Arch. I was much better last Tuesday morning, but that's neither here nor there. Let's just dive right into it. What do you think, or walk us through the last two possessions that the Falcons had the ball offensively? Obviously, a little bit disappointing that twice inside the red area they were stopped in on fourth downs.
Yeah, I mean, there's various reasons why they were stopped. Obviously, there's a horrendous no-call on Kyle Pitts on a throw in the end zone. It's going to give you the ball at the one-yard line, first and goal to go. He's clearly interfered with. So, I mean, obviously, we can harp on what the officials weren't last night, and they weren't a lot last night. That was about as bad of officiated game as I've seen in a long time. But that was the key play on the first set down there. Now, you can debate, and I'm sure there's a lot of debates going on about coaches and analytics and going for it on fourth down. I think there was about four minutes and 15 seconds or something left on the clock when Coach Raheem decided to go for it on fourth down there. Another incompletion in the end zone as they're trying to get the ball to Drake London. And so Kansas City takes over with 4 minutes to go, and you had all three of your timeouts. Do you kick a field goal there? I mean, that'll be the debate, because obviously you get back down there again after the defense comes in and makes a stop. You get the ball back, and you come right back down the field again. And, you know, they leaned on where their strength is. Their strength is to run those two running backs. Now, whether you like the call on how it was played out. I'm sure, Mike, you looked at the tape. There's a missed block. I mean, they've got Tyler Algier is kind of the free blocker there. He's kind of the fullback on the play. And Bolden runs through clean. He's the one guy that doesn't get blocked, and he's the guy that makes the play. I talked to Bijan Robinson after the game, and I talked to Bijan. I said, unfortunately, you're going horizontal to the line of scrimmage. Had he been going north and south like he was on his first touchdown, when his touchdown run, he ran through Bolden to score from the one-yard line. I think he's going north and south. He gets the first down. But because he was going horizontal line of scrimmage, he didn't have any leverage, and Bolden came through untouched and made the play. So you can debate the calls and all that kind of stuff. I think they went with their strengths. I'd had no problem with them going for it in both situations. But just unfortunately, just didn't make a play like you did the week before.
Yeah, and Arch, that's the one thing that I go back and forth on sometimes with those situations. I love when when they're creative. I love when Zach Robinson's creative and you do different things formationally. But also, it's hard to know exactly how Steve Spagnuolo's defense will line up to that formation. It's hard for a guy like Tyler Algier, who doesn't make a living lead blocking, knowing exactly who he's going to block. So there's a lot of stuff to clean up, and you're right. They'll watch the film, and they'll kind of decide where they're at moving forward. I want to focus, though, back in on some of these short yardage situations, and honestly, just third down in particular, even if it's third and one or third and 17 or whatever direction you want to go with it, they just seem disjointed. And I don't think it's any one thing. I don't think it's just protection. I don't think it's just the route runners. I don't think it's just inaccuracy from Kirk. But what adjustments do you think we need to see moving forward if we're going to get off this 22% third down percentage?
Well, it's going to begin, obviously, trying to figure out, Mike, what you're going to do in the offensive line, because based on what Drew Dahlman looked like after the game with a boot on his foot, we never saw McGarry. So you're probably moving forward with Ryan Neuzel at center against the Saints and Storm Norton at right tackle. So now all of a sudden you're down a couple of men that are part of that cohesive unit up front. Well, how does that affect you potentially in what you think your strengths are now that those two guys are out of the lineup? I don't know if that affects what they want to do from a schematic standpoint because of some of the maybe the inadequacies that some of those guys have, or maybe they have some strengths you can accentuate. But certainly it looked like Ryan Neuzel struggled, I thought, when he came in the game. I thought he got isolated a couple times on Wharton, the big tackle, a big nose tackle. He had a tough time handling him. I thought they had a really tough time sorting out some of the A-gap blitzes that Spagnuolo kept hitting them with Bolden and Tranquil coming. Chanel was part of that too. All three linebackers were coming. They even have defensive backs that were coming. So they've got to sort out some of the schematics because you know as well as I do, Mike, this is a copycat league, and the Saints are going to look at that and are going to say, well, they couldn't handle this, they couldn't handle that, and you're going to see it again to see if you can fix it. I thought Kirk did a really good job of once he found out that he wasn't going to get a lot of time. He got knocked to the ground 10 times last night, was sacked 2 times, was knocked down 10 more times, and there were 8 different players that knocked him to the ground that got quarterback hits. So that means they were coming from everywhere. So that means you're going to see that again. I thought Kirk did a really good job of trying to go pre-snap with his pre-snap look and finding a throw that he could make without having to read it out, where he could drop and get that guy the ball, whether it was Drake London, Kyle Pitts, whoever it might have been, Ray McCloud. I thought he did a really good job of, with his pre-snap look, of getting it out. He's going to have to do some more of that. But, it's going to be a combination of everything. You know it as well as I do, Mike, is from a schematic standpoint to blending the two new guys along the offensive front to trying to make sure that you're self-scouting and you're not predictable on some of the stuff you're doing. And then Kirk trying to read things out like he did pre-snap to get the ball out there out of his hand on time.
We've got Dave Archer on with us, former Atlanta Falcons quarterback and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Dave, Jesse Bates, talked after the game. He felt like the defense played well despite what Kansas City was trying to throw at them. I know they came up with the interception. What do you think this group did well on the field?
Yeah, I thought that they did a good job of mixing things up on Pat Mahomes. I mean, they had a decided game plan that they were going to play, keep everything in front of them, it looked like. You didn't see a ton of man coverage. So, and I credit Patrick Mahomes. I said it throughout the broadcast. Pat tried to force one down the field in the red zone on that opening drive, and Justin Simmons stole it from him in the end zone. From that point on, he took everything Atlanta gave him. He threw the ball underneath. He got the ball out on time. And when Atlanta did try to come with some pressures, he was able to do what he does to buy time. And Raheem called it the second piece of the play, or the second play. That's the extension of the play. He pulled it down and took off and ran for a couple of first downs. I think the thing that's alarming a little bit with the defense, and Bo and I talked a little bit about this after the game, was their inability to stop the run game. And they're struggling with that. They came in giving up over 160 yards on the ground in the first two games. I think they give up, another 125 or 130 yards last night on the ground. Even with Pacheco out of the game, Carson Steele, the rookie, was able to run with some power and kind of keep them in good down and distance situations. That's something they're going to have to fix. They're going to have to find a way to shut the run game down and force these opposing quarterbacks into some more uncomfortable situations.
All right, so I want to talk a little positive here. As bad as the passing game looked in week one, last week at times – it looked hit or miss, but I really feel like Kirk is starting to build really good in-game chemistry with Darnell Mooney, first and foremost, and Drake London as well, who's obviously our player of the game. These two guys really, like, Kirk with these two receivers really looks like he's on the same page right now.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Bo. The problem is you're just not running enough plays. You ran 56 plays last night, so you now have run – you played 3 straight games – where you've run 51, 57, and 56 plays, you've run at least 10 less plays than your opposition. The closest one was last Monday when Philly only ran 10 more plays than you did. Last night, Kansas City ran 16 more plays than Atlanta did, and that's part of going back to what Micah's talking about and trying to figure out whatever's going on with the third down situation and find a way to convert that. You're now, if you count the fourth downs in conversion situations, you're 9 of 33 on conversions for on third and fourth down. You got to get that fixed. Kirk said it in the interview. You guys played the interview. Kirk says, hey, this is going to be a long season if we don't get that figured out. You got to run more plays. I agree with you that he's coming along and he's developing a chemistry with some of these guys. But think how much more of that chemistry would be along if they'd run 10 more plays in each game, which is essentially what other teams are doing. They're running 10 to 15 more plays than the Falcons are. They've got to get that fixed.
Dave, we appreciate the insight. Looking forward to catching up with you next week after we see the Saints.
All right, man.
All right, Tiff. Thank you. See you.
That was Dave Archer, former Atlanta Falcons quarterback and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, joining us here on the morning shift. You can follow him on X at ArcherQB16.
He tried to turn a positive note, but I don't think he was having it, though.
Well, I'm glad he mentioned the how many plays you're running. It's something he and I have talked about it at length, honestly, during the games and after the games. And we'll probably have an event session where he'll listen to me scream about things I don't understand.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer in your home today and start packing. We got a life squid.
The best Twitter account in Major League Baseball is from the worst team. And there was some would call a legend in the building last night for the Falcons Chiefs game, and it was not T Swifty. Tell you next on the Morning Shift Sports Radio 929 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
That's right.
Rolling along here on the Morning Shift, we have a giveaway. You can call into the show now at 404-726-0929 for a chance to win a family four-pack of tickets to the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs in Talladega.
Talladega!
It's Dega, baby!
October 6th at Talladega Super Speedway. How many times did I say Talladega? In Talladega,
Talladega!
Alabama. Dega, tickets are on sale at Dang it, here we go again. Talladega Super
Speedway.
Talladega! It's Dega.com.
And so call us now, 404-726-0929. I'll announce the winner after we do our Life of Squid. A pair times two.
And the Brown Grass Charity Classic, the second annual Brown Grass Charity Classic, will take place November 25th. Get over to the 929 The Game website. Click on the events page, Mike. Sign up your squad today. It all goes to charity for Pets for Vets. It is.
I need to get a practice round in sometime, man. I haven't played in a while, probably since last year in this tournament.
Wait, that's the last time you
probably,
played?
Probably, yeah.
I can get you out there if you want.
Yeah, we might need to fix something up.
Why don't you make some arrangements and get some free time, and I'll take you out on the course.
Got free time all the time. I live
really?
In free time.
No, you don't.
Yeah, no, I don't.
I know you.
I know I don't.
No, you don't. You've been doing the same project for the last year and a half.
Oh wow! I feel like that's like almost a shot fired. Like you can't get anything done.
No, I thought you were going a different direction.
I'm trying to make the point that he doesn't have free time, or he would have finished it already.
Children and things.
Yeah, that's the point. I mean, if you had, I know I'm not going to get on the road about, but if you had more free, you had the free time you just said you did, that project would be done by now.
Yeah.
Anyway,
something like that.
All right.
Last night, something interesting happened as we entered the stadium, Tiff. Mike and I had to give Mike some stuff for the pregame show. So we walk in together, and we're walking in, and Mike, jump in any point this story, and there's kind of a scrum at the security where there's a holdup.
Okay.
Like, there's this huddle of people, you know, that's called a little scrum, and we finally kind of...
Credentials are being checked.
Yeah.
People are being eyeballed. It's that kind of thing.
We work our way through it. And I go, freaking Joey Chestnut there holding up the line. And Mike's like, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Why do you say that? And I go, it's Joey Chestnut.
There?
Tiff will know exactly what I'm talking about when I say this, because she does it from time to time. You ever think about something and somebody says something, it doesn't register you right in the moment, and then you go, wait, what? Like, I was thinking about something Bo had said a minute ago, and I'm kind of looking off, and I'm looking, like, at the wall of the bends, and I hear him say Joey Chestnut's holding the line. At that point, I think he's just, you know, calling somebody. Maybe somebody was holding a hot dog or something, and he's just calling somebody
Didn't
Joey
register.
Chestnut. Right. And then there he was.
Does he have ties
the
to
actual
the, is he from,
person?
No, he was there for, I believe he was brought in.
Oh, hot dog night.
Yeah,
because of the hot dog, for the free hot dogs. And so he's got his belt and everything. I got a buddy who's oddly obsessed with Joey Chestnut. It's just, it's
a weird thing to be obsessed with.
It's Well, and the other thing is this guy's daughter is also obsessed with Taylor Swift. And I don't know if she was or wasn't in a building. I heard she was there or going to be there. Never saw her. Sunday Night Football never panned to her, which is odd because they can't find a moment to not show her on the camera. But I text somebody, I go, how crazy is it that it's, the person you obsess over and the person your daughter obsesses over in the building at the same night, the same time.
Joey Chestnut.
In the same city.
And possibly Taylor Swift, if she was there or not, would be in the same building at the same time.
Joey Chestnut.
Stars aligned.
Was so impressive last night in his deal where.
More impressive than eating 83 hot dogs like he did. Tiff,
what they did is they showed him, and I don't know, between quarter timeouts or whatever, and he's, it's very famous, the Mercedes-Benz, $20 worth of Mercedes-Benz food. It's six hot dogs, a slice of pizza, and a beer for $20 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So he had a minute and a half on the clock to see if he could mow this thing down. And he did it with time to spare, and the beer went down, I'm not kidding you, in about 2.5 seconds. It was one of the more incredible things I've ever seen. He mows through it, does it. It's impressive. And I was like, there he is, man. Joey Chestnut on hot dog night, on Arthur Blank night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Has there ever been a hot dog eating contest, like scandal? Like is there, I know you probably don't, there's probably no doping in that sport, but like if someone had a throat surgery or something.
That's
like
not
that.
Such a good question.
I just was wondering.
That's
like,
such
is there
a
something
good question.
You could
do I don't know.
To...
I was like, how would you cheat? And then you said that. I was like, wow, you know what?
I don't
what?
Know if it's possible.
You probably could.
The scandals are more about beefs between the hot dog eating.
Yes, I do understand with the latest stuff that happened.
But the fact that he chugged a full beer with pizza still in his mouth was extremely impressive.
Unbelievable.
He had a piece of pie, as I would call it, and then a full beer. That was pretty impressive. He was much more impressive chugging than the other guy, the people in the stadium that they tried to do on camera with the chugging.
He also showed up with pineapple socks on, which I thought was interesting. You know, we're in the security line. I look down. I'm like, that is Joey Chestnut. He's got his title belt, like, right there on his shoulder. And I look down, and his socks, he's got pineapples on them. And I was like, well, that's an interesting look for Joey Chestnut.
He also had the jersey. The Falcons jersey was 83, and it was for the hot dog number he ate to beat Kobayashi. All right, the worst team in Major League Baseball is Chicago White Sox. They are probably going to go down, if they lose one more game, as the worst team in the history, losses-wise. And it's pathetic bad, to be honest. But they might have one of the best Twitter accounts in definitely baseball, maybe all of sports, because they have done something that, and I give management credit for not kind of getting after them and allowing them to do this, they're basically turning it into a joke. Which they are as an organization and a team. They're posting the final score, and I'll just go from last couple of days. Final, the other team scored. Final.
I love these, dude.
Final, the number of runs we scored was not greater than the number of runs they scored.
So good.
Can be found on the MLB app. They even went as far. They even went as far to post a meme yesterday, and it says. And it's basically a interstate, and it's got a road sign, and it says, going straight, post final score. Literally anything else, turn right. Mm-hmm. And they have a car with locking up the brakes tight, and it says, admin. And yeah. It's turning right.
They're so good, dude. I love that they've kind of, look, what else can you do? You kind of got to embrace it.
I mean,
hey,
I love it.
The winner of those NASCAR tickets to go to Talladega, tickets it is Brett from Woodstock winning the ticket. So congratulations to you, Brett from Woodstock.
There you go,
baby.
We come back,
we'll find out what's coming up on the Steakhouse. Stay with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.